Of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man already.
They think they're living in a police state.
Once upon a time, there were these people in Europe called pilgrims, and they were afraid of being persecuted. So they all got in a boat and sailed to the New World where they wouldn't have to be scared ever again.
I loves my gun,
and I don't mean no money like
I work at Walmart and make no money.
So enjoy yourself, or I'll come looking for you. There and veg out in front of your TV and enjoy what these fine people are giving you, which is maximum entertainment. You understand what I'm saying about? And don't you ever, ever, ever forget what it's like without TV. Because before TV, people just sat and played with themselves all night.
I loves my gun.
Recorded 18th January 2013. Suck it, Mayans. I'll eventually get over that. Anyway, welcome back to another episode of Rangers A to Z with your host, Iron Angel. This particular episode is Hot Wheels, which isn't what you probably think it is. But before we get going, I want to say the under music is new. Hey, I finally did that. You know, I said I was going to, and I actually did. This is all stuff that I just recently did in the last week or so. And it sort of came together accidentally as a soundtrack for a bad biker B-movie that doesn't exist. So if you dig it, if you want to check it out, if you want to actually hear the tracks and stuff, go to alonetone.com and look for Iron Angel, and you'll find me there, and you'll find an untitled film soundtrack. By the time you get there, it might actually have a title. But it'll be a little picture of a CD with a bike on a road on the front of it, and there you go. So you can listen to all that kind of stuff if you want to. If you got anything else to, like, you know, watch and paint dry or something like that, it's probably a better thing because it's really not all that good, but nonetheless. Hot Wheels. Now, what in the heck does that title mean? Well, I was driving along with a bandmate in the car here a little while ago, a month or so ago, along the freeway, and we came up on a car fire on the other side of the freeway going the other direction. And this isn't the first barbecue I've been to. I've seen a number of these over the years. And I realized that a lot of people don't really know what to do in this situation. So I figured, hey, there's another A to Z episode right there. As we came up on it, it had just started. We could see the folks leaving the car. They had already gotten out of it. They were a good 100 feet behind it and moving back away. And so we knew they were safe, so I didn't do anything, you know, really wild, like driving, you know, across the median with a borrowed car and that kind of stuff. We called 911, let them know specifically what mile marker it was at. Well, it was actually between mile markers, but we let them know where it was. And there appeared to be a family of three alongside the road, and that which direction they were heading. They were, you know, in this particular case, they were headed westbound. So, you know, you want the fire department to at least be going in the right direction when they get there. And because it's a lot safer for everybody involved. So we doubled back around, and because of the way the highway was laid out where we were at, we had just passed the crossover. And we hit the next crossover, came back. It was a good 4 or 5 miles each direction. By the time we got back, there's already two other vehicles that had stopped. And one of them did exactly the wrong thing to do. One had driven past the side of the vehicle and stopped directly in front of it and close to it. You know, it's not going to explode in a giant fireball like you see on TV more often than not. Once in a great while, you'll see a car fire explode. And I'll get to those in a little bit down the road. Mostly what happens is people will, you know, see it, panic, freak out, because they're not looking far enough down the road. You know, I'm looking a mile, 2 miles down the road when I'm driving, because at that point I have some clue what's coming up, and if I see a whole bunch of people jamming their brake lights and that kind of stuff, I know, hey, there's something going on up there. And I probably want to be looking for a spot to pull off now in case emergency vehicles come flying up and that kind of stuff. I'm usually driving a half a mile behind me to a mile and a half in front of me, and a half mile wide strip, which really isn't a bad idea. If you can, you know, if you can absorb that kind of area, obviously in a city or something, it's not as easy. You can't do it. But out on the highway where you've got a lot of open space, it's really not a bad idea to constantly be looking ahead, constantly looking behind. You know, you really should be looking out ahead of you more than anything else, but you should be checking your rearview mirror periodically, looking for people flying up through traffic or emergency vehicles, that kind of stuff. And you also want to look to make sure that, you know, something didn't fall off your car you actually want, like the canoe on the roof or a wheel or something. So, at any rate, we get back to this thing, and this moron is pulled up in front, and he finally realizes, huh, he's only about two car lengths in front of this now fully involved SUV. So he decided to pull forward before the paint peeled off the back of his vehicle. What he was doing was stopping to give the folks someplace. It was cold, so give the folks who had lost their vehicle someplace to go to get warm. The problem is you're really close to the burning vehicle. And so you're going to have to run back up through it, through the smoke. You know, the people had gotten out and did the smart thing. They went back away from it. And we'll get to all that here in a little bit as to, you know, what to do and so on and so forth. Another vehicle had stopped quite a bit further up. And they had probably also called 911 and all that kind of stuff. But this was on the inside of a curb, a big sweeping curve. And here's where the problem came. There was a lot of cars coming up who couldn't see this until they had come up on it. So we stopped about, probably 400 or 500 feet back with our four-ways on the curve. So the people coming up had an idea there was something going on. Because once they got up by us, they could see, the, you know, very clearly the, you know, 50-foot-tall flames coming off this SUV. So by being there as a warning, as an impediment, we were helping to slow down traffic and get traffic to move over and stuff. We still had a few people that just about took our mirror off. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me any because people don't pay any freaking attention. And one of the other issues that we ran into in doing that, when you stop like that, you really want to stop slightly diagonal, because that way if you do get hit, the energy will push you off the road diagonally, not out into traffic. You'll notice a lot of times police cars will stop that way. They'll stop with the nose of their car either tilting out to cover them as they walk up to your car, or with a back end kicked way out, so if the car does get hit, doesn't roll up on your vehicle. It's there to protect the person they're stopping more than anything else. So if you find yourself in this situation and you're the first responder and have to leave your vehicle as a warning, angle it. That'll help. You know, angle it with the four ways going. If you got a second, pop the trunk, because, you know, that'll cause people to slow down even more, hopefully. Realistically speaking, yeah, I know it won't, but, you know, we can all hope, right? So, that said, the people did the right thing. They got out of the vehicle. Then they did the wrong thing. They ran off into the, you know, ways back into the ditch, which was good. They were off track, away from traffic and stuff, in case somebody got stupid and slid and went flying down through the ditch and whatnot. They had three people. One of them should have been watching the oncoming traffic just for that specific reason, because some idiot will come flying up on it, stomp on the brakes, skid sideways, and go careening off to the side where you're standing. Anytime you're broke down, if you've got multiple people, one person is always facing traffic. They never turn away from it. That's just a good rule of thumb to have. And the reason for that is just safety. You know, be very aware that there's a lot of stupid people out there. And if you can at all, you know, narrow down, you're running in with them, that's way better, you know? You know what? I'm going to go see if the coffee's done. Hang on just one sec. Coffee! Okay, I'm better. I've got coffee and all that stuff, so. You know, we are such a frickin' nation of caffeine addicts, sugar addicts, all that kind of stuff. It's just unreal. Anyway, car fire. So, the stupid thing they did was, after being in a safe position, when this other idiot decides, you know, hey, come on, get my vehicle, that kind of stuff, they all make a run for his car. In doing so, they cut in very close to their own burning car. You know, because they're in the sort of ditch on the side. It's not really a deep ditch or anything. It's a low area. It's wet. And they wanted to go around the water. Well, you know, in the grand scheme of things, sucking in a big lung full of plastic smoke or possibly getting, you know, burned or something like that versus getting your feet wet, I think I'm going for getting my feet wet. But, you know, maybe I'm different than most people. They're already miserable. I'll give you that. They're cold. You know, they got out without their jackets on, that kind of stuff. So at any rate, you know, it worked out okay. They were all right. Fire department got there, hit it pretty immediately. After the fire department got there, the police got there and blocked off the road right behind us. Realized what we were doing. Blocked off the road right behind us and stopped traffic for a little bit, giving the fire department room to work and time and that kind of stuff. And we headed on down the road. Got to our destination and weren't more than a minute or two late. So, you know, doesn't always take that long to stop and help somebody if you head out a little bit early. What to do in a car fire? Well, first of all, keep your car in good repair. Most car fires happen because of something being wrong. A broken gas line, leaking gas on the exhaust manifold, something like that. Electrical problems, so on and so forth. If you can keep your car in good repair, the chances are much less likely to happen. But it does still happen. So if it does, you'll know, because there'll be a whole lot of smoke pouring out of the engine, and it'll be hard to see and that kind of stuff, and you'll really want to pull over. You know, a lot of people, oh, I can just drive fast enough to blow it out. No, you can't. I've seen fires burn in 100-degree wind, you know, in hurricanes and things like that. You know, 100-degree wind and blowing rain. Your little, you know, Volkswagen Rabbit is not going to get up to 220 miles an hour to blow the thing out. And even if it did, you're not safe doing it. You know, if the wheels don't blow off the damn car, you're going to crash into something. So don't try that. Which is funny that I get to that point with the undertrack. The undertrack here is unsafe at any speed. And that describes some of those cars I've seen on fire. So, at the point you realize, hey, something's, you know, heinously awry here. Pull off to the side of the road. Pull a ways off if you have the option. Again, pull off diagonally. If the car's not on fire, you're going to have to work on it. And having that, you know, that big hunk of metal there to shield you helps some if you do get hit. Yeah, it'll get shoved into you, but that mass of metal will help a great deal. When you come to a stop, if flame shoots out of the back edge of the hood, your engine is on fire. Yes, that's a problem. At the point that you've got, you know, all this kind of smoke and stuff, you need to start formulating a plan as you're slowing down. Don't freak out and stomp the brakes and skid. That's not good. Steady, even pressure. There is a chance your brakes are going to fail. Because if the fire is up near the master cylinder of the brake system, there is a chance that there's a rubber line in there that could burn through, depending on your car. Some repairs, some older cars, things like that. Some cars have rubber lines. Most have steel lines, but not all. And there's a chance that the plastic cap on the top of your brake cylinder could melt, and a number of other places it could possibly fail, and you could lose brake pressure. So you could feasibly lose brake pressure. If you lose brake pressure, shut the car off. The engine is still coupled to the axle. The axle rotating will turn the engine and drag it down slower. You know, don't put it in park. Go going down the road. It'll just make a tick, 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 tick sound until it gets down to about 10, 15 miles an hour, and then the wheels will lock. Just turn the engine off, at which point the car will slow down. This comes in for anything. If you've got a stuck accelerator, you know, I've seen this, you know, there's a car on the freeway. Police car's along next to her, and they're screaming along 75 miles an hour, and, you know, he's trying to wave her over, and she's yelling, "I can't, the car won't," you know, the accelerator's stuck. And I'm like, turn the damn key off! The car will stop on its own. You know, no difficulty whatsoever. Unless something has gone heinously awry. And honestly, when it goes heinously awry, usually you don't have ignition. And if you've got an engine fire, there's a good chance your engine's going to stop on its own anyway. It may not be right away, but it will eventually stop on its own. But, yeah, turn the key off, roll to a stop, try and angle it off if all possible. As you're slowing down, become aware of where the things you want to grab are. You've only got a couple of seconds at most to grab those things and get out. The car is not going to blow up, all right? Even if it eventually does get fire back into the gas tank, there has to be air in the tank with it to create an explosion. If the car is damn near empty, running on fumes, the tank is full of vapor, and it's really hot out, there is a chance the tank will split. But it's not going to flip it over. It's not going to be a mushroom cloud you can see from space, you know. Yes, once in a while, you do get a ruptured tank, and you do get what looks like an explosion. It's a really fast combustion, really fast burn. They're uncommon. Uncommon isn't even the right word. They're rare. But there's a lot of other problems that you're going to deal with immediately when the car comes to a stop. There's heat. There's a lot of heat. There's a lot of thick smoke. Everything that's burning in the engine at this point is more than likely plastic-based, petroleum-based. It's thick, oily, choking smoke. When the front wall of the passenger compartment gets hot enough, they call it a firewall for a reason. It's there to stop a fire from getting back into the passenger compartment. It won't stop it forever. At some point, that fire will get back through into the passenger's compartment, and it will go from there. Your carpeting, you know, because all of the modern cars, there's this tendency to have plastic and carpet right up against that firewall. They ignite a lot faster than the old cars did. You know, you didn't see a whole lot of Model T's sitting alongside the road on fire. Of course, there weren't a whole lot of Model T's back then either. And yeah, you actually did. There were other reasons for that. A whole other conversation. But, you know, suffice to say, older cars that don't have carpet and plastic on the front firewall tend to last longer in a car fire than modern cars do. Because of the way modern cars are made, if there's an engine fire, it is going to get into the passenger's compartment sooner. The problem is, before it even ignites, at the point that it starts getting a great deal of heat on that firewall, it starts vaporizing this plastic and you know, the glues and binders and the carpet and stuff like that. And that stuff gets up into the air in the cabin you're in. You need to be out of that. You may not even be able to see it. You might actually become aware of a car fire by smell. You know, something doesn't smell right. You smell a hot rubber smell or a burning rubber smell or burning brake smell, something like that. Anything like that, it comes back around to what we've talked about in earlier shows. If that little voice in the back of your head says something is wrong, you know, you might want to check that. That might be important. And if you pull over and discover that's not the case, that you've just got an oil leak that's leaking oil on the crossover, and it's not a fire, it's not a big deal, cool. Nothing happened. Rock on. But you still handled it really well, because you handled it like it was much worse than it really was, and therefore, when it wasn't a big deal, it wasn't a big deal, was it? See? That worked out pretty good, didn't it? I know it didn't make any damn sense the way I said it, but, you know, it actually does work out. When the car comes to a full stop, slam it into park, or if it's a stick, leave it in gear. The objective is to keep the car from moving after it's on fire. You don't really need a rolling fire ship going down the road. Slam the car into gear, grab whatever you're going to take with you. Your cell phone is probably, really honestly, your cell phone is one of your top priorities, and it's for this exact reason. So you can call and get a ride and say, hey, could you come put my car out? Obviously, if you got a laptop or something in the seat next to you, so on and so forth. If you got a car packed full of stuff, you got a real problem. Things are really going to suck. Now, if at the point you come to a stop and flame doesn't shoot up from underneath the hood, and you do have a fire extinguisher with you, you know, locked down next to you in the car, you got a chance of stopping this thing before it goes any further. You know, once the fire is shooting out of it and stuff, it's time to go. And the main reason is this. You know, the smoke inhalation is going to be a huge issue. The heat is going to be an issue. There is a possibility that the glass is going to break from the heat, and you could get cut by a piece of glass. Not seriously, but, you know, there's a possibility. There are going to be, if the car really goes good and really burns good, there are going to be 4 explosions when the tires let go. They're not going to be, you know, huge. They're not going to flip the car or anything like that. But they're going to blow. They're going to scare the snot out of you. And they're going to throw anything that's near them at you, like liquid rubber. You know, liquid burning sticky rubber. So you don't really want to do, you know, that little game. Now, if you come to a stop, like I said, and, you know, fire doesn't shoot out everywhere, but there's still smoke and stuff, you might grab your fire extinguisher, hit your hood release. When you go around to the front and open the hood, be very aware. You're about to give it a great deal more air. When you open the hood, you know, I mean, literally, as soon as the hood unlatches, you throw it up and step back. Even if it's a hood that has to be propped up, you throw it up and step back. The reason you're doing that is you're giving it a puff of air, and you're trying to see if it's going to light. If it's going to light, it'll slam back shut. You know, if you've got one that you have to prop up. Cool. At that point, it might choke itself out again. If you throw it up and you've got the kind that stays up and it lights, hit it with fire extinguisher. Hit the fire at the base of the fire. You know, don't shoot the flame on top. That doesn't do anything. Shoot down toward the bottom. If you open it up and it doesn't flash over, try it again. You know, put your hand on the hood. How hot is the hood? If the hood's hot, you have an issue. You know, and I mean hot. Not like, you know, sitting in the sun hot. I mean, like, you put your hand out, you're like, oh, crap, that's hot, you know. Yeah, that's an issue. So, got all excited. So, if you can get it put out, great. It's going to screw things up, yeah. But you know what? They're already screwed up. If it's on fire, it's not going to get any better. So, you know, feel free to spray it full. Dump the extinguisher into it. Once you've got the hood open, if it, you know, blows into flame, okay, you know what? Time to retreat, because shooting the fire extinguisher through the grill isn't going to do anything. The radiator's in the way. The radiator's not on fire. It's full of water. Okay, if your radiator's on fire, something's really, really wrong with your car, and you suck at car maintenance because you filled your radiator with gasoline or something. But at the point that you know that you've got a fire, back around to plan A, grab your stuff and go. Get back away from the vehicle and go backward away from the vehicle. The reason to come backward away from the vehicle: one, you're not near it anymore. You're not walking past the fire, that kind of stuff. Two, you're not in the smoke field. Even if the smoke's being blown backward behind the car, as people come up on it, because they're not paying frickin' attention, they come up to this car on fire, they see the smoke, they swerve, they stomp their brakes, they look back over their shoulder to see what's going on, and they run over you. Oh, that kind of sucked. So go back away from the vehicle, again, facing traffic. You know, if you're going to stand alongside the road, you're going to go back and stand there facing traffic so you can see, just in case some idiot's headed your way to, you know, that's not paying attention. You know, 4 wheels and all eyes on his cell phone or something stupid like that, you know, not good. But that said, you know, if you don't have, like I say, if you don't have a fire, carry on. That's a whole other show, car maintenance and that kind of stuff, and why does my car smoke and so on and so forth. And it's not really a show that I'm a particularly helpful in. I found enough car fires over the years, you know, out in the middle of nowhere and stuff, that I wouldn't call myself an expert by any means. I know fire. I know how fire behaves and what it does and what it can do and that kind of stuff. And so in that, I can give you some tips and some pointers and hints like that. Definitely a plastic fire is a nasty one. It's not something you want to breathe. It's, you know, it's definitely not healthy. And you will note when firefighters come on the scene of a car fire, they always put on air packs to fight the fire. Even if they're in open air with wind behind them and so on and so forth, so they don't accidentally catch a whiff of this one. You'll sometimes see firefighters with just the mask down and not actually wearing an air pack. But more often than not, in a car fire, they will wear air packs simply because of the possible toxic fumes from rubber and plastic burning. Once the car gets fully involved, you know, all that plastic on the interior gets burned, oh, geez, they're bad. And quite often, the interior won't go until a door gets open. So, when you take off, you accidentally the door open or something like that, the interior's got a better chance of going. If you're really, really lucky, you slam the door on the way out. If you've got stuff in the car, it might survive. It's going to have some smoke damage, but it may not actually burn, that because there's not enough oxygen in the car until a window breaks. If the fire doesn't get going good in the car, it may just smoke the snot out of the interior. And depending on how leaky your car is, if you got a car like mine where there's a lot of rust holes in the floor and stuff like that, well, okay, you know, maybe that's not such a good plan. But on the whole, let's see, we're coming up toward the break now, so I'm going to throw some music in here toward the end. And I'll find some other weird topic to go off and rant and rave about when I come back. Get some coffee in me so I'm a little more animated than normal. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Coffee, 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 coffee. And then we'll talk about something else after the break. We'll do some music and stuff. Swing on over to R4NGER5.com. That's Rangers.com. And check out some of our other stuff. Find us on Facebook, Rangers A to Z. The number 2, the letter 2, and the number Z. That's it. That's the ticket right there. Yeah, Rangers A to Z on Facebook with your host, Iron Angel. Back a little bit.
got the key, moving on. Well, I might go out to California, might go down to Georgia, I don't know.
Freight Drive Reprobates, two tracks, Back on the Black Coffee, and a cover of Call Me the Breeze. Real ZZ Top vibe to it, though, which is kind of cool, Skinner Top kind of thing. You can find Freight Drive, along with the next two tracks I'm going to play toward the end, on AloneTone.com. The last two tracks going out are MCO Big Ben's 28 Days featuring Ghost T and Doug Sparling Chagrin, which I've used before. I think I might have actually used Ben's stuff too, but I can't remember for sure. Any rate, I couldn't think of anything else to add. You know, basically in a car fire situation, get out. You know, it's just that simple. Get out. It's probably hosed. If you can grab stuff, do so. You know, obviously, one of the things I miss, though, is if you've got a baby sleep in the back or something like that, get that out, too. Make sure all the people are out safe. But for the most part, yeah, car fire is going to be hard to stop. They're not a good thing to try and deal with. If you find one, there's a couple of things there that I should have covered and I didn't, and I don't know if I got enough time to or not. If you find one and the people are in the car still, I'm constantly on you guys about carrying knives. This is why right here. If you got somebody that's in a car, in a seatbelt, and the belt won't unlock, cut it. Because, you know, they're likely going to be unconscious from the smoke and stuff. Try and pop it, but if you can't, cut it. You know, it takes longer to cut than it does anything else, but, you know, it's better than leaving it in the car. If you have to come up on something like that, and you have any options whatsoever, if you happen to have a water bottle next to you, you know, in the seat next to you, water your shirt, pull it up over your face so you're breathing through a wet cloth, because it'll capture some of the particles. It's not an effective filter. It's not a good air source kind of thing, but it'll capture some of the particles, so you don't get quite as much crap in your lungs. You're still gonna have a rough time for it. But you know, if it's a situation where you're the only option and it's somebody else's life, to me, it's worth it to risk your life to save somebody else. And that's really each person's individual thing. You have to choose that yourself. You have to make that decision. You have to see how you're wired. Some people just aren't wired that way. Some people simply don't have the ability to do that. And that's okay. That's not an issue. If you do, go for it. If you don't, don't. You know, if you're not sure, you'll figure it out. You know, at that particular moment, you'll either that fight or flight thing will either kick in and you'll do it, or you won't. If you don't, that's a whole other show. You know, I mean, if something happens due to a lack of action, that's a whole other show we'll get to eventually. It's one of the other shows I've been really hesitant on, and they're coming because they need to now. You know, PTSD, what to do if you're downrange at a mass shooting, you know, date rape, some really hard topics coming that aren't going to be as light and aren't going to be as fun. And, you know, so I'm doing a lot of research on those. I'm hoping to get some guests in, but I haven't been able to nail down. One of the guests I wanted to get to come in is a friend of mine from back during the Ren Faire days, and she's a heavily published expert on domestic violence and this kind of stuff. But I don't think I'm going to be able to get her now with the debate going on after all of the things that went down back in December, because she's been real, real active. So, yeah, we'll see where it comes. Yeah, if you can, you know, if you can get somebody out of a car, wet your shirt, can't hurt to get a wet cloth over their face, too. You know, the big issue there is if you do get hit by the fire, you're going to get steam burn, which is probably, you know, not the biggest part of your concern at that point. If you're that close that you're getting steam burns, you're going to have a rough day. We'll cover all this kind of stuff, you know, the dealing with going into, we're not going to cover going into a fire. We're going to cover dealing with this kind of stuff down the road, though, steam burns and whatnot, you know, because it happens a lot camping. You know, your campfire gets out of hand when you're camping and you need to deal with it. Here's what to do. We'll cover that stuff down the road. Let's see. I've actually got a lot of music in this one. With the freight drive tracks earlier on and the upcoming stuff, this was a pretty music-heavy show. So I've only got maybe not even 10 minutes left before we get out of here today. Let's see, did I cover everything with... I have no idea. Like I say, I don't keep notes. I'm supposed to. I theoretically do, but I don't actually look at when I'm doing stuff. Yeah, I'd have to say yes. You know, basically, if there's something I missed, jump on Facebook if you're on Facebook and send me a message. And that's, you know, facebook.com/rangers, R4NGER5... .A2Z, the number 2, letter A, letter Z. Jump on there, leave me a message, let me know you're listening, let me know what you think of the show, if there's something I missed, if there's something you'd like me to cover. Hell, if you want to be a guest in the show, jump on and shoot me a message. For that matter, if you're into IRC at all, Internet Relay Chat, you can hop on Freenode and jump into our chat room, which is #R4NGER5.com. And there's a few of us in there. It depends on, you know, when and where and what day and stuff. Sometimes more active. Depends on who's got connection that day and whatnot. Half the time you'll be talking to the guys overseas, the UK Rangers, who started this whole thing with Rangers Radio and whatnot. And we got some new episodes of Rangers Radio coming up here real soon. So When V gets his connection back up and stuff, we'll have some more of those episodes up. And you can find those, the back episodes there, along with a lot of other media, up at rangers.com, R4NGR5.com. There's a mirror along the right-hand side with all the different stuff we've done in the past. And V's working on putting together a new TV show, possibly. Actually, you know, broadcast TV kind of thing. So, don't know if that's going to fly in or not. We're still in the early stages of that. We just talked about that this morning a little bit, so we'll see how that goes. In the last little bit I got here, we're going to tangent off because, you know, I'm Irish and we do that. All the music we got in the background and stuff I've done in the last week, 9 days maybe, 10 days, something like that. It just kind of happened. I was doing some mixing work and I needed to take a break. I just picked up a Telecaster, hit record, you know, started a new project, hit record, and said, hey, you know, let's just see what happens. And I thought, huh, that's, you know, that's actually kind of a cool track. I kind of dig that. So let's put it up on a Lone Tone and see what people think of it. And, you know, titled Indoor Outlaws, you know, implying a lot of these guys that are, you know, doctors and lawyers and bankers by day and bikers by night kind of people. And from there, you know, it just kind of got out of hand. And every day another track would come out and people seem to like them, you know. They're commenting on it. There's a lot of listens. You know, I'm seeing a lot of listens and stuff. And so it just sort of evolved and flowed into this kind of theme. And I started certain, you know, sort of writing a story in my head accidentally. And so, you know, there might even be a movie out of this before I'm all said and done. Who knows? But what this all leads up to is in February every year, I do something called the RPM Challenge, the Record Production Month Challenge. This is kind of like NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, and you can find it at rpmchallenge.com. No www, just http://rpmchallenge, rpmchallenge.com. What the challenge is just to basically get musicians off their butt. They keep saying, oh, yeah, we're gonna record now, we're recording now. Well, then, put up or shut up. It doesn't have to be Abbey Road. It doesn't have to be the best album ever recorded. It just has to be done. The challenge is to write and record an album of original material. And you don't necessarily have to write it. That's hard mode, you know. But it has to be original material. It has to be recorded in the month of February, so all the stuff you're hearing doesn't count. It has to be 10 tracks total or 35 minutes. So it could be one 35-minute track or 10 two-minute tracks and still meet the criteria. At the end of the month, you burn it to CD and get it in the mail off to the Wire magazine in New Hampshire, I believe. It's all up on the site, I'll tell you. And if you got it postmarked by March 1st, noon at March 1st, you have officially won the RPM Challenge. Which gives you nothing more than the, you know, bragging rights to say, hey, I recorded an album in February. What'd you do? You know, like NaNoWriMo, it gives you an object in your hands that you created. You've done something. You actually did it, you know. And if you fail, you probably still learn stuff. Now, there's a couple of loopholes and little things in there. It just has to be sound. It doesn't necessarily have to be music. The general consensus is music, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. You could tell, you know, you could tell comedy. If you've ever wanted to do stand-up, this is a great opportunity to, you know, download Audacity or Reaper or something like that. Get a microphone, record some stand-up, use GarageBand, whatever. One of the projects I have strongly encouraged, I have yet to see anybody do, is to sit down with a microphone and get your family stories. To do an album of 10 stories about your family. You know, and that's something that you can pass on to the kids. That's, you know, you can have that album as something you give the kids for Christmas or later or what have you. Put all the tracks up on SoundCloud or Lone Tone or something like that and give the URL to other family members. You know, so they all know the story about Uncle Jim and the giant fish or what have you, you know. Just, you know, use this as a springboard for creativity to do something new, to explore something. Even if it's, you know, even if it's just barely listenable, at least you did it. You went out there and tried it, you know. On the other hand, you might accidentally discover, hey, some of this stuff's pretty good. You know, I kind of got a knack for playing piano upside down or what have you. You know, so... And there's been a couple of quote-unquote theme songs that have been written over the years. The next track coming out here is one of them. 28 Days is a track that Ben did that just, you know, it has a great vibe. I've played another Cultural Landslide's Brand New Hobby in a couple other shows, and I'll probably put it again in a future show here near next couple of shows. But anyway, yeah, RPM Challenge. It's like NaNoWriMo for sound, for music, for sound, that kind of stuff. If you have no musical talent whatsoever, get a kazoo, get a harmonica, whatever, and just go for it. It's fun. You might learn something. You might have a couple of neat background tracks for your podcast that you should be doing by now. Because I pestered you about that, you know, a couple of shows ago. So anyway, that about wraps it up. We only got, what do we got, about 2-3 minutes left? Oh, not even. We only got seconds left before I get out of here. I've been your host, Iron Angel. You can find all my stuff up on alonetone.com/Iron Angel. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us at r4nger5.com. There's a link to our IRC room. If you go to the main Rangers site, and you can hop in there and chat with us directly. We can steer you off to, you know, all the secret links of where things are stored on YouTube and stuff like that. V's Back and Beyond series, everything else. Until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of those around you, teach what you know to others. Take what you got, pass along, make the world a better place. In a world of darkness, there's not enough darkness to put out the light from one small candle, so be that light.
Creativity that we preach. Neat, I keep straight in my brain, and if it's pain, it's pain. If it's fame, great, but these are the breaks. Wait, I take a minute to contemplate how to finish. Wait, begin and again. Lyrics I send so you can hear it. It's Big Ben, the MCO, and Ghost the Spirit, combining on SoundCloud, kicking them roundhouse. Not much time left to count down.
28 days is a perfect kind of strain. Messing up my game, it's enormous.
feels like a year, but when the smoke all clears, I'll have something to show for it now. And if it leads to pain, then it leads to pain. There's nothing I can do about it. And if it leads to fame, then it leads to fame. Try not to think about it. Doubt it.
28 days got me working so hard, trying to change my game, trying to raise the ball, trying to make a name so you know who we are, not faking it all, drawing no tracing involved. The cost could be pain or fame, all in all, I'm having a ball, pushing away from the wall. Don't sit out in the dark, go and meet a fresh broad, get up, get out in the sun.
Wait, that's the next
my
song.
Mistake, mark one down with many more to come, deadline closing in, try to ignore it some. Pressure build just as stress, but sort of fun. February's extra tough, it's the shortest month, and the sum, the price I gotta pay is enormous today, the bed's made, won't lay. Anyway, try not to complain when we make waves compress a year's work into 28 days.
And if it leads to pain, then it leads to pain. There's nothing I can do about it. And if it leads to fame, then it leads to fame. Try not to think about it. And if it leads to pain, then it leads to pain. There's nothing I can do about it. Possible, but I doubt it.